Welcome, friends, to the Life on Purpose podcast. I'm so excited to start my third season with you. This year, we are focusing on the word confidence, how to get more of it, and where we are currently seeking it. The goal is to bring you some incredible conversations that will provide you with newfound wisdom, guidance, and resources. And on this third season of Life on Purpose podcast, we want to keep you inspired and remind you that everything you are looking for is on the other side of fear. It is my privilege, as always, to be a part of your journey to living with courage, hope, and confidence this year. In the beginning, we all know to living with confidence starts with recognizing what is keeping us stuck. And for a fun, quick way to get started, hop over to my website at amydebrick.com and take my quiz, Are You Stuck in Your Comfort Zone? You can also access other free resources while you're there or grab a copy of my book, Embolden. Enjoy. Well, good morning. This morning on the Life on Purpose podcast, I am talking with friend Ashley Moore. And Ashley and I have connected, it seems like over the course of this last year, between the summit and just getting to know you and your podcast and you having me on. And so it's such a pleasure always to talk to Ashley. So I'm excited she's on here today. So welcome, Ashley.
Thank you. It's such an honor to be here. I was thinking about that this morning, and typically I'm on the other end of these conversations doing the interviews, but God has been so kind to give me some opportunities to come on to other people's. And I feel like we have the same heart and mission behind our podcast to just declare what God is able to do when we really believe him. And I'm excited to be here. It's an honor.
Yeah. Well, so in addition to you being a podcaster, Ashley, share with the listeners just a little bit about your personal life. You know, I know you're a wife and mom, so share a little if you can.
Yeah. So I am Ashley. Of course, I'm originally from Macon, Georgia, but we call Albany our home now, which is just about an hour and a half south of Macon. So deep South Georgia girl. We live on like a 30-acre farm we just purchased this last year, and we are raising our children. I'm married to my husband, Colby Moore. We've been married for 7 years, and we have three kiddos. So I have Cypress, he's 5, and then we have 2 girls. We have Sparrow, she's 4, and Jovi, who is about to turn 3. She's a Christmas baby. And yeah, so we have our hands so full. But in addition to all that, I just love to talk about Jesus. Man, he has redeemed my life, and I just feel so prompted constantly to share about him and what he is capable of doing. So I do that through many outlets, writing and podcasting, and I blog and all the things.
Yeah. No, well, you do a great job. And I do think that there's something to be said for the obedience in that. It's sometimes we feel that, you know, that tug that God has on us, and we want to resist and run in the opposite direction, or at least that's me, Ashley. And so when you're able to, be obedient in the sense of carrying it through and following it through in these different places, that's where I think lives change. You know, for me, mostly my life, I feel like, but I know that, I feel like when I'm doing something that I should be doing, even if it feels awkward or uncomfortable, it's always going to be worth it. So one of the things that I love, is the name of your podcast, which is Be the Two. We were laughing earlier because we were doing a little wrap up of how the outline was going to go for this interview. And I accidentally threw out Be the One, but, because you're the one doing it, but actually the title is Be the Two, which I love. And so I want you to talk about a little bit, what is the inspiration that led you to start this podcast and the show's name?
Absolutely. I'd love to share about that. I was listening to my intro, just kind of reminding myself where I was when I started this journey, because January will be a year of podcasting for me. And I really never imagined, like you said, it was one of those kind of uncomfortable, like, promptings from the Lord to start a podcast. I knew I always wanted to write a book, but a podcast, I was like, I was never thinking about doing that. But I started that intro episode talking about kind of a traumatic incident that had happened with when our firstborn was born. And he was 4 days old and he stopped breathing and turned blue. And I remember bringing him home from the hospital after doing a bunch of diagnostic tests and things. And I was so wrecked with postpartum anxiety. I was so fearful and it was controlling my life. Like, I remember not being able to like get out of the car at the gas station. And I just had these ridiculous fears and these scenarios playing in my mind. And I've heard you share a little bit, Amy, about your testimony and just dealing with fear. And I think it's something that a lot of us are just wrestling with. And the only thing that comforted me was God's word. And I remember I was reading through the Bible and I got to the book of Numbers. And in the book of Numbers is a story about the nation of Israel. And these were God's people. And he had freed them from Egypt and he had brought them through so many trials just in that short time of when they left Egypt. And they were, he had promised them a land in Canaan. And he said, it's going to be yours. We're going to go in. I'm going to take you there. He had parted the Red Sea. You know, they walked across on dry land, just miracle after miracle. They saw God be faithful to answer their prayers for him to rescue them. Well, they get on the edge of the promised land and Moses is getting ready to lead them. God is telling them, hey, grab some leaders from the 12 tribes, send them out, scout out the land, tell us what kind of cities they have, tell us about the people, tell us about the food there, like what can we expect when we go in to conquer this land? So Moses does this, he obeys God and he picks these 12 leaders from the tribes and he sends them out to scout out the land in Canaan. And they go and they spend 40 days there. They observe everything. They even bring back this fruit. It talks about this cluster of grapes and it says that it's one cluster of grapes, but two men have to carry the stick that it's on. This is how huge this fruit is in this land. And they call it, you know, the land of milk and honey. Like they talk about just the goodness that was there. And they come back, you know, and they get ready to bring a report to the people, the other people that waited to hear back from them. And they go to explain all the things that they found. And they do mention the good things, but all of a sudden they start talking about the people there and their tone changes. And they start talking about how giant the people are. And how the people must have thought they were like grasshoppers and that the people there would surely destroy them. Mm-hmm. And immediately one of the spies speaks up and he's like, hey, like cut that out. We're not talking about that. Like God has said, we can have this land. We've seen him do amazing things. We're going, like cut out the chitter chatter about that. And they didn't. They kept talking about how scary it was and how many obstacles they would face if they went in and took this land. And eventually, this uproar just breaks out. Like the people are terrified. They're like, how could God bring us out here? He's going to kill our wives. He's going to kill our children. Just like I had seen fear do in my life. That's what it was doing in them. It was creating these ridiculous scenarios that had like no basis of reality. Like God had already told them he was going to take care of them. Right. He had already promised them everything. And, you know, because of that, because they let fear control their thoughts and how they responded to this circumstance, that generation didn't get to inherit the promised land. Only two of the 10 spies or of the 12 spies believed God. And they were the only two from that generation that got to actually inherit that promise. And Amy, I just feel like we are living in that right now. There is so much bad news. There is so much to be fearful of. I mean, every time you turn on the news, every time you open up a social media app, there is some new variant of coronavirus. There is something to be terrified of. And we have got to be the two. We've got to be the two people that are willing to say, no, I believe God at his word, and I'm going for everything he has promised to me. So that is the inspiration behind the show. And God just laid that on my heart. And I just wanted to walk in obedience, just like Joshua and Caleb did.
Well, I mean, there's so much to unpack there, but just the bottom line of that is so relevant, like you said, to today. And I think that's the thing about God's word, is that how amazing is that, that his words were written so many years ago, but they're still holding true today. They're still relevant for what we're experiencing today. I mean, there's not that much, you know, yes, certain things are a little bit different, but not that much when you really dig through and you look at the sin and how it was played out and all of that and the distrust. And I mean, and really what that boils down to, and I think that this is where a lot of us get hung up, and I'm really speaking to myself here, in my experience, was that trust piece. We get so distracted by all of the other things around us that are hard and difficult that we lose sight, number one, of the things that are still good, right? Even if they're seem very small in comparison, but they're still there. Like, I woke up today, I'm healthy, I'm still cancer-free. Even if we have to dial it back down to the basics, we have a tendency to go 1,000, you know, in the other direction of everything that's going wrong. And so, and the other thing to that, that I absolutely love, is that once we can change our and shift our perspective, like you're saying, to be those two, we're recognizing God's promises and how his word means something. It meant something then, and it means something now. And even if we don't experience what we think should be happening in the time in our lifetime, we already have seen years and years ago how his word does hold true. And it's a matter of obedience and trust. And it's hard to do that. And I think today more than ever, I think it's even harder to do that. And so I really appreciate the fact that you're bringing light to that and really kind of simplifying it to that is just, let's be those two people. Let's be those two people that trust God for who he says he is, his word, that everything is going to be okay. Not necessarily how everything we want it to be or how we think it should be or expect it to be, but how it is supposed to be. And so I think that there's something, and maybe you can agree with this, and we're going to talk a little bit more about overthinking, because my girlfriend and I, we like to send each other memes that we see that say, you know, hold on, let me overthink about it. Because I think when you're kind of that anxious, a little bit more of an anxious or control person or whatever you want to call it, tendencies or have those tendencies, overthinking is such a disadvantage because you spiral, like you said, you know, with your son. And I had that same experience, you know, after my oldest son had passed away, everything, every mild symptom or anything that occurred with my other children, my mind went, I mean, logic was like completely not even on the radar. And my mind just spiraled to the worst case scenario, completely illogical. I couldn't even dial myself back. But I think years later, when I was able to realize that wasn't just an anxiety issue, it was a trust issue. And am I going to trust God or am I not? And the more that I did, the less my mind would go to those places. Because I think depending on the way you're wired, and I'm wired that way, that's always going to be my default. So I have to check that daily. It's not a one and done. I mean, it might be different for you, Ashley, but for me, it's still something that I have to commit to, or I can easily find myself in that overthinking, irrational, and fearful, you know, mode.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. It's our default. Our sin nature causes us to, we immediately look for the negative. We immediately look for the scary parts of whatever God's calling us to be obedient in, we immediately see the things that are hard, and we've passed by millions of God's common graces. Like you said, we woke up this morning, we have breath in our lungs, the sun is in the sky again this morning, you know, like we pass by those things. But there is an art, and there is a responsibility we have in retraining our brains to focus on His goodness and His truth, like grounding ourselves daily in what does God's word say about this? What does God Himself say about this? Because He's given us His word, and He's like, here, read it. I'll tell you how everything's going down. Like, but are we going to believe it? And God cares about what we believe. I mean, the story of the Israelites is proof that God deeply cares about what we believe. In that story, He says, how long are these people going to look at me with such contempt? Like, how long are they going to not trust me when I have done so much for them? I've done everything for them, and still they don't trust me. And we do the same thing when we're anxious. There is some lie that we're believing underneath that anxiety, and it can only be remedied with God's word and His truth.
Right. No, I love that. And I want you to talk, let's dive a little bit more off of that thread on overthinking and how that has really affected you outside of, you know, I'm sure your son's circumstance and all of, and here's the thing too, with anybody listening, there's no shame. Ashley and I, you know, we've talked many times, both, you know, with her interviewing me, and we understand being that as a default, and things that come up are difficult and scary and hard and do create a sense of insecurity and fear and distrust. It's a matter of, though, not staying in that space, not holding that as truth. And so, you know, I want you to talk a little bit about overthinking and what that can really, how it has affected you personally, and the other end of that, when you are in the right place, and how that also can make a positive impact in your life.
Yeah, I think, have you ever heard of, there's like a scientific study that talks about, like, if you talk about a red car for the rest of the day, you're going to notice every red car on the road because we've talked about a red car, and our brains are wired to do that. And honestly, it's a grace from God that we do that, because it filters out the millions of things we are ingesting every day and helps us focus. And I think the downside of that is the red car sometimes in our life are those hardships that we all walk through. Like the thing with my son, you know, that was terrible. It was terrifying. I mean, I was a brand new mom, and I just remember looking down at my newborn baby, and his lips were turning blue. And I was like, everything logical, like you said, everything logical went out the window in that moment. And it made me think, oh gosh, like, there was something that I should have known. Like, I should have known something here. There's something that I don't know that is causing harm. And it made me, like, my brain go into overdrive. So what do I need to know for this moment, for this moment, for this moment? And then I'm like hypervigilant about every single situation. And that is just making me a basket case. It's making everyone around me a basket case. The enemy used that to rob me of joy. The first year of my son's life, I'm so paralyzed by fear. I'm losing joy of raising a child. Right. And those are, you know, we don't get those years back. They go by so fast. And so, but God showed me that if I'll reverse engineer that, the fact that my brain is really good at picking up on things and noticing things, if I can reverse engineer that and start planting in more of God's truth, I can overthink on God's word. So now when something pops up, God's word comes to mind. So now I know I don't have to know everything. The Bible says that in my weakness, his power is made perfect. And I can remind myself of those things. Mm-hmm. And that is the grace in God giving our brains this amazing ability to notice things. It was meant for good. But of course, sin broke that. But we can reverse engineer it, knowing what God's word says, and we can use that power for good.
Yeah, that's such a powerful message, Ashley. I love that. That is so true. You know, you do. And I love just even the simple, but I mean, just idea of, like you're saying, this red car. I mean, it's such a great visual. It's something that everybody can kind of be like, oh yeah, I never really thought about it that way. I can definitely do that. And it's, you know, that replacement, which it becomes a practice, but then that practice becomes your default, which is what I love. And so actually piggybacking off of that, I know you have created a really incredible resource. And so I would love for you to talk about that a little bit, because I think that a lot of people get hung up not on recognizing the overthinking and the fear and the anxiety, but how do I begin? What is my first step? You know, where do I go from here to get to that point where this practice does become my default? So can you share a little bit about your resource and how they listeners can, you know, get a copy of that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a website. It's AshleyNicoleMoore.com. Easy peasy. It's my name. And on that front page, I have some graphics, and it just says, the very first one is top 6 tips to stop overthinking. And inside the resource, I'm like you, Amy, I want to like just put more resources in people's hands. So I have some scripture to meditate on. And then I have a book recommendation. I don't know if your listeners have read John Acuff's book. It's called Soundtracks. It's amazing. And he does what I described here. He reverses that process of overthinking and starts using it for good. So I have a book recommendation. And then I shared a podcast interview that I did with another author who wrote a book on perspective and how to shift our perspective. So just some great resources in there. And then I have some great, right there at the end, something that's been super helpful for me is self-reflection questions. So asking yourself these, I think it's 2 or 3 questions, and then taking some time to journal through those things, finding out what's underneath that anxiety. What's that lie that I'm believing? And then what does God's word say? And how can I write that down and make that my recurring thought instead? So you can grab that at my website, or I'll send you a link and you can plug it in your show notes, Amy.
Yeah, that sounds great. I mean, and all of those things, what I love about the resources is the range, because I think sometimes what might be helpful to one person might not really reach another. And so I love that idea. I love the book. I think that's awesome. Of course, I'm always a huge proponent of sharing any resource, any book where I've gotten something beneficial from it to pass on to somebody else, because you just don't know, like I said, who that person is that's going to resonate with them better than something else. But I love that. And I think you're doing amazing work, Ashley. It's always such a pleasure to talk to you. We do have similar messages and missions, but I think everybody has their own uniqueness, and I really appreciate yours and what you're doing in your community. So I would love for people to connect with you, even in addition to this resource, on a regular basis. How can they sign up, subscribe to your email list, and stay in touch with you more regularly?
Yeah, so you can jump over on the blog. Again, it's AshleyNicoleMoore.com, and you can get on my email list. I have tons of tools, free resources over there for you. I have the podcast, of course. You can listen in. It's Be The Two, and then I love to hang out on Instagram. My handle over there is XO Ashley Moore. So yeah, come find me and let's be friends.
Well, she's worth the find. So I would highly recommend you checking her out. I think you're great with interacting also with your audience, which I think is a rare commodity these days, especially with when you do have high numbers, it's hard to really connect, but I think you're in a sweet spot where you do have a lot of followers, but you're always willing to participate and have an encourage and have conversations. So thank you so much, Ashley, for being on. It's such a pleasure to catch up with you. Last time we talked, I think we chatted an additional half hour after our interview. So anyway, it's great to see you again.
You too, Amy. Thank you for what you're doing. And thank you for just the honor to get to speak into the people that you're pouring into too.
Well, that's it for us today, friends. If today's episode or any other episode has left you feeling encouraged and inspired, please consider rating, reviewing, or subscribing to Life on Purpose with Amy Debrick from your favorite listening platform. The mission, as always, of Life on Purpose is to meet you where you are, but not leave you there, and let you know that although fear is normal, courage gets the final say. See you next time.